Baseball Elite, courtesy of FantasyGuru.com. I am Jeff Manns. Find me at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, TheJeffManns on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and all those other social media outlets. Talking some baseball with the man, the myth, the legend, at Baseball Guys on Twitter, Ray Flowers himself. How are you, Ray?
I'm tired, Jeff.
Life's Dude, our down, pre-show bro. Conversation has me exhausted. Woo. Right?
Yeah. Life is hard, Jeff. Life is hard.
It is indeed. But it's getting better. Ray Flowers, I understand you are a landowner, even more so up there in California. You're like a big-time guy now.
Yeah. Well, so, as of today, Jeff, it might change tomorrow. You never know. But, yeah, it's moving on up, you know, getting a nice view, getting a bigger house, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got that rolling for you. Want to talk to everybody real quick. FantasyGuru.com, we had our NFL draft content up over the weekend. Ray Flowers participated in that. Ray, I do appreciate you doing that in the middle of baseball season. But just so we are clear and everybody's clear here at Fantasy Baseball Elite, we aren't going anywhere, and we talk baseball 365 days a year. All off season, all regular season, playoffs, winter meetings, all of it. Same with football. And, I mean, that's the way you guys – that's what you should expect from your content providers no matter where it is. And, of course, if you're not familiar, we are the Elite Sports Network, and we own FantasyGuru.com, EliteFantasy.com, GuruElite.com, EliteSportsBetting.com. So we have a network of a lot of different avenues depending on what you guys are interested in. FantasyGuru.com is seasonal fantasy baseball, seasonal fantasy football, and we talk it all year round. NFL draft, free agency in NFL, winter meetings in baseball, playoff baseball. Man, we're in on it, and we have chat rooms set up for you guys to come in, interact, talk about it. I know a lot of our SiriusXM listeners, Ray Flowers, that listen to you and I on the network are devastated and miserable and angry because we stopped talking baseball at a certain time. I said, just come on over. I mean, FantasyGuru.com, we just lowered the price for the rest of the season. It's like $20. It's like $3 a month for the rest of the year. Come on in. We're talking baseball every single day. Ray Flowers, you live on the site, essentially.
Yeah, I really do. It's kind of
why do you even need land? You have real estate.
Yeah, right. It's it's kind of sad. Poor Ray. But yeah, I do live on the site, always doing things. Updated the rankings.
For May.
Yeah, May 1st is the first day of every month throughout the entire season. The rankings get updated. So the 600 players coming out on May 1st, the whole thing, there it is. We'll do that June 1st, July 1st, August 1st, September 1st. For those people that have the VIP package, talking about living on the site, basically I have the chat room open most days all day. And I'm constantly in there answering questions, you know, start sit kind of questions, waiver wire moves, trade moves. A lot of times, even as I'm doing an article, someone will ask a question. You know, Griffin Canning's getting called up, Ray, what do you think? Well, I'm happy to write an article, haven't posted it yet, but hey, here in the VIP chat room, here's the first two paragraphs of the article. This is what I got done so far. So yeah, it's something I'm proud of, and I'm really happy that we're starting to create that community at Fantasy Guru.
Absolutely, and Griffin Canning, a guy that we will be talking about here very, very shortly. But the good news is, Ray Flowers, for you, having to update those rankings for the month of May, nothing's changed since April 1st, right?
No. It was probably 95% just copy and paste.
Yes. Give me one. I want to know one guy.
Yeah.
I don't care what position, pitcher, hitter, anything else. Give me one guy that, as you were going through the rankings, you're really surprised at how highly you have him ranked going into May. Now, these haven't been released yet. Give me one guy.
Boy. Luke Vogt.
Oh, okay.
I did not anticipate him carrying over much of what he did last season. And quite frankly, no one did, let's be honest. I mean, you know, in start of March, they didn't know if Gregory Bird or Vogt was even going to be their first baseman, right? So the Yankees didn't even know. But he's been just absolutely terrific. I'm pretty stunned by it, actually, Jeff.
Yeah, he, as we sit here recording this at the end of April, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs already, you know, nearly a 400 on base percentage. The Yankees in general, Ray, I mean, listen, and it's funny because, you know, Ray and I are talking, there's so many things we're doing at Fantasy Guru and ElitePantasy.com and stuff, and we just both are like, it doesn't matter what obstacles get in your way. A job needs to be done and we need to figure it out. And I'll give the Yankees a ton of credit. Like, they're just keep winning. There's excuse. They've lost an all-star roster, have been on the DL. Now they're getting Gary Sanchez back and okay. But they win, you know, 9 out of 10 games. They're, you know, second place. They're creeping up on the race with an amazing start here. But they're right up there while teams like the Red Sox at nearly full health start to struggle. The Yankees are just plugging in new guys, Urshela, Mike Ford, and Vogt, like you mentioned. They're just plugging in new guys, getting strong efforts out of on the mound, in the bullpen, and guys getting timely hits, and they're winning ball games, right? No excuses.
Yeah. I mean, you Bird on the IL, Andujar on the IL, Gregorius, Tulowitzki, Frazier, Hicks, Ellsbury, Judge, Stanton, Severino, Betances, and DJ LeMahieu and Urshela hurt. So it's amazing. It's amazing the run of illness that they have dealt with. It's astounding that any team could lose that many players. And, you know, you look up at the standings and they're well over 500, 6 games over .500. That's impressive, Jeff.
It really is. So kudos to the Yankees on this hot start. And Ray has Luke Vogt pretty highly ranked on the rankings over at fantasyguru.com for the month of May. How many players totally?
600. I mean,
so many.
I don't know. I mean, there's 150 outfielders and pitchers. I think it's like 600, Jeff. It's a lot.
I think I just did 36 dynasty rankings for football on the site, and I'm sweating and tired of that. You 650 guys, and I almost fell off of my chair. So there you go, folks. Get over there, get to the site, be a part of the community. Let's talk some baseball here, though. Besides every single human being that's ever put on the pinstripes in their life, other injured players, Ray Flowers. Now, I'm going to start out with a hot button issue for you. Anthony Rendon gets hit on the elbow week and a half ago at this point. Mm-hmm. What do they wait, 8 days before they finally put him on the injured list? And every day I'm watching at Baseball Guys Twitter, what am I doing? Not in the lineup. Why is he not in the lineup? He starts to come back but then had a problem. Rendon, did the Nationals' decision not to sit him down immediately has this possibly led to a more significant injury or more time off from Rendon?
We don't know the answer to that, but it certainly seems that that's a likely outcome here. The upshot is that fantasy owners were toyed with, right? It's not, he got hurt, and the reaction is, well, he'll be okay because the team says he's okay. Well, he'll be okay. He's not on the disabled list. He didn't play 7 of 8 days, but right. He did play one of those 8 days. So now if they place him on the disabled list, they can only backdate it a couple days, so he's out till May 7th. So they completely bungled that, it appears, by playing him that one day instead of just initially sitting him down, giving him 2 weeks instead of costing him 20 days. Secondly, because of the way they handled it, you know, how many people started the week off with Rendon in the lineup this week if they had it set it on Monday? You know, because it's like, well, he's missed 5 or 6 days. He's doing better. He played the other day. I'll put him in the lineup. And now they're getting zeros all week. So this is bad management. And in the day and age of being out for only 10 days on the injured list, really surprising they let this get away from him like this.
Rendon's been hit 3 times this season, twice now on the same elbow, and you just wonder what's going on. You know, contusion means bruise and some swelling and whatnot, but you wonder if there's a bone chip. You wonder if the inflammation's led to some muscle issues in there as well, because you could flare up going to the bicep or down to the forearm. You never really know. But not being able to extend, it's unfortunate because this guy was absolutely shredding this season. For a Nationals team that's been impressive, that, you know, has sustained the loss of Bryce Harper this offseason and, you know, was hitting the baseball and performing fairly well. Then they've dropped off since Rendon's been out of the lineup, losing 7 of the last 10 games. But this is a major loss for the Nationals here as well. So as we look at that spot in Washington, who's the biggest benefactor? Is there anybody we can claim on waivers or to get, and how long will they be of use to us?
It's a really interesting question. And earlier this week, or actually last week, actually, Carter Kieboom was called up.
Yeah. That's such a great name.
Isn't it? Yeah. Oh,
so good.
And there is a player profile on him over at fantasyguru.com. Wrote it up when that occurred. And, you know, the whole argument all the time with these young players is what's their role going to be? You know, the guy's getting called up. Is it a spot start? Is it a 10-day thing? You never quite know. The idea was that, you know, he'd get called up, Keboom, and when Trey Turner is healthy, we'll just put Turner back at short, and then who knows with Keboom. Now, it's early with this Rendon situation here, but it is possible that Howie Kendrick plays him third. It's possible that, you know, Keboom tries him third, and they work him in there during practice, and maybe they go, you know, go in that direction. I don't think that there's an obvious answer here, Jeff, for what they're going to do, because, quite frankly, they don't have – like, you can't ask Keboom to play – that position now because he doesn't play that position and they don't have Turner. So, you know, moving him off shortstop doesn't make any sense. I mean, Adrian Sanchez is the backup shortstop.
Oh,
I mean, you know, he's called up the other day. I mean, the backup third baseman, excuse me. He's the guy they call. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They might
Keboom
just
seems like the guy that's going to play shortstop for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Howie Kendrick has been hitting well, and he's not a third baseman. Maybe they try that. It's a little messy for them right now, Jeff, no doubt.
It is Defoe and Keboom, and they're just sort of rotating these infielders around, obviously without Trey Turner, too, in Washington, two of the mainstays of this Nationals lineup in disarray right now. Other guys, not the only infielder that went on the disabled list, Fernando Tatis Jr. on the DL now as well, Ray Flowers. And as we look at the Padres and their start to the season, like, all right, very solid. You know, lineup is more impressive than we would have thought. They've gotten some decent enough starting pitching. Kirby Yates has been an absolute monster, closing down games late and even in the eighth inning. They've been bringing them a little bit. But, Tatis has been solid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a guy who got the call. Unlike Vlad Jr., he got the call in day one, but now hitting the DL. What does this do to the Padres lineup?
Yeah, here again is, and I will reiterate the call that I've made since day one. I don't understand at all the day the Padres decided to go with Tatis. Mm-hmm. Fine. The day they decided to go with Paddock. Fine. Go for it, guys. Blow it out. Give it a shot. They bring in Ian Kinsler. Why? Why? I don't understand. Ian Kinsler has been a disaster this year, which is a little surprising because he's, you know, usually effective even when he's not good. But he's been a disaster. There's all kinds of reports that the nearly 37-year-old might just get released because he's sucked eggs to this point.
Ooh.
Yeah, bad, nice. Jeff, bad. Meanwhile, Luis Urias, who's the guy who should be playing second base.
Yeah.
Who got 24 at-bats and is demoted. And blah.
Down.
Yeah, he's got a 1380 OPS in the minors, has 5 home runs and 9 RBIs his last 3 games. And he's wasting away at the minor league level. My assumption is that Urias will get called up and that they'll put him at shortstop, which is kind of what everyone thought would happen a month ago before the decision was made to go with Tatis. If they do that, if Urias comes up and continues hitting like he has in the minors, I think that short term he plays shortstop, Tatis is back, he goes to short, Urias goes to second, and Kinsler either goes to the bench or gets released.
Yeah, it's a thing that Urias was – mostly second baseman. They tried him at short. Should be noted that he's played the last 5 games at shortstop for El Paso, where he's absolutely at AAA, where he is just destroying the baseball. 7 home runs already.
That's not him, but he is.
No, he's a smaller guy.
Yeah. He's a batting average guy more than a power guy.
Gap guy. Yep. Yeah, could hit the ball in the gap, run a little bit more than anything. So that's 7 home runs. 7 home runs in the minor leagues translates to 52 in the major leagues.
There you go. Yeah.
It used to go down. Now it goes up. But we're still waiting on that to be official. Urias, I'm surprised. Like, why does he come up, get to 24 bats? Why send him down at this point? And why not make that move right away when Tatis goes on the DL? We shall see. Other guys that are injured, and let's just – we were talking before the show, AJ Pollock, he has an elbow infection. Good Lord. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What a
always something.
Always something with him, and you and I argued about him. By the way, let's officially declare you the victor in the Jay Bruce, Daniel Polka conversation that we had before. Although, when somebody's hitting 195, it's hard to be the winner, but unfortunately, Polka is in the – I don't know what the White Sox are doing. And listen, again, I'll say the thing about Polk. I'll regurgitate it, and I'm wrong. But I don't understand what the White Sox are doing. Why? This is a guy
who's – Cordell, Jeff, come on.
Their active major league lineup is atrocious. You've got these amazing talents in Makata and Eloy, even Abreu still, and surrounded by the purest of trash that God's ever seen. And Tim Anderson is in the positive side. But Delmonico and Yalmer and Cordell and Angle and Lourie Garcia, this is awful. And as a White Sox fan, it really bothers me. It really, really bothers me. But, Polka, 452 on base percentage at Charlotte right now, Ray. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well.
258 batting average, which is 60 points higher than Babe Ruth.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, Ray has won that, and I won't even – like. I'm sure over the course of the season, what will happen, I'll declare myself, I'll concede the race, and then Polka will come up, hit 30 points higher than Jay Bruce and have just as many home runs or like four short. And then
Jeff, if it happens, I'll remember. I'll give it to you.
Sure you will. Such a liar. But it's okay because at this – like this – I was supposed to be winning this now. This wasn't like I'm not playing for August. I'm playing to win April 1st, and then we'll figure out. Then like your rankings, I'll go to win. I'll win May, and then May's done. I'll win June. I'm not even the idea. I can't play like you do, where you look long term. Like in baseball, so many injuries and everything changes. I'm like, I want to win now. If I don't win this move immediately, screw September. We're not going to live that long. I'm like a 1960s hippie baby. Like, let's just die. Let's just shag until we all break out in scabs.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Like, I did that in a way that we can do on clean podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, AJ Pollock on the DL or IL, whatever you call it, for the Dodgers. What do you think? What's Pollock? What do you do with? I mean, do we have to hold Pollock?
You have to hold him. But it's 28 games when he hits the DL. Two home runs, no steals. He's hitting .220, and you know the issue for him is one anyone that's owned him previously understands. He hasn't played 115 games since 2015. He is constantly hurt. Now the last 2 years when on the field, he's been very good. This year it hasn't happened yet. Small sample size, so you do need to hold on because of the talent level, and he's only 31. But the injuries are there, and hopefully you recognize that when you put your team together and build depth in the outfield. The short-term winner is someone who might end up being the long-term winner, and that's Alex Verdugo. He's been playing a lot of center field in the absence of Pollock. Figures to play there most of the time when Pollock is out. Verdugo has had an excellent start to the season. He's had a Pollock-like start to the season. Batting .975. He is not a big power hitter, and he's certainly not a speed merchant. He is... I would say I always throw the name out there with this kind of guy. He's Melky Cabrera. Okay, he's a Melky Cabrera type. People go, if you hit 300 with 15 home runs and 85 RBIs every year, you're pretty good. So it's not me putting Verdugo down. I think he can be that kind of guy. It is worth noting that he hasn't walked at all this season. He's got two walks this season. That could be an issue if he doesn't show a little bit more patience, but a very good young hitter who picks up a lot of playing time and probably plays through platoon issues for the moment.
Over at Elite Fantasy, the first live stream of the year, Vlad Sedler and I did, and you and I did this on the podcast. I'd done it on Sirius, but I said, you're telling me a left-handed hitter in the middle of the Dodgers lineup is going to come up at some point this season? It happens every year, and it always make a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it right out right at Verdugo. This is the guy. This is this year's Max Muncy / Cody Bellinger. Now, is he going to hit all the bombs that those guys did? No, but is he going to hit for 40 points higher than average those guys did when they broke out? Yes. The guy who didn't have a lot of power in the minor leagues, granted, but like I said, and I was joking about Urias, but 10, 13 home runs in the minor leagues means you're going to hit 20 in the majors. That's just the way we live nowadays. I don't know why. I don't know how. But it's the truth. We see these guys who hit 30, 35 doubles in AAA and double A, AAA, come up to the majors, and now they're 25 home run hitters. So Verdugo hitting .290 with 20 bombs this year, not going to surprise me.
Given the cost, it's going to be a great return.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic return. So definitely a guy who's got to be on all rosters at this point. It should have been already, I would imagine. He's going to play a lot when Pollock with Pollock out, and who knows how long that takes, because it takes AJ Pollock. When you might as well just say, like, he got his period or something. Like, it's or hangnail or period or whatever, like any like minor thing that most of the civilization, you know, goes
maybe
to work.
The full
with
moon affects him, Jeff. Maybe.
Every day. It could be biorhythms.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe his biorhythm is his moon's not in orbit or whatever. So we shall see. And one other injured guy I want to talk about because it's hilarious is Cody Allen. Of the LA Angels, opens up the Angels closing job, sort of, because Cody Allen was so atrocious. And this was the big offseason get for the Angels. The Angels always want to get the closer for some reason. And this one is as bad as you can be. And supposedly he's got a spine injury. Lumbar, lower back, spine.
You don't buy that? You have inside info?
I don't have inside info, but listen, I'm from the South Side. It's all, like, stop.
I'm from the West Side.
I'm sorry, man. It's like in NFL draft, I just got done covering. It's like there are so many bogus reports out there, and everybody wants to. We live in such a weird society. It's like, oh, he's got a leg injury, or he's got a spine injury. It's like, that's spine. He's got a suck injury. He sucks. He sucks.
Suck injury.
Like, what do you want to do? He can't throw a strike. That's the injury he has. It's because of his back. Okay. I want to just – everybody listening to this podcast right now, raise your hand if your back ever hurts.
My hand's up.
Yeah, mine too. All of our backs hurt. We always have back injuries. We just stop living. I got to go on the DL. No, we just go through it. Take some ibuprofen. Get a painkiller addiction like an adult. That could do your job. I mean, for crying out loud. Right?
Yeah.
Just do it. So anyway, when we talk Cody Allen on the DL here, Ray, that opens everything up for the Angels bullpen, which has been pretty miserable most of this year. But, you know, who do you see closing games long-term? Buttry, Robles, Garcia, Cam Bedrosian, you'd think, would be a closer. They don't seem to want him to get the back half, though.
Yeah, I think with Cam, I think his velocity's down a little bit, and they've just moved on. You know, it's like a couple years maybe, but they've moved on from the idea. They've even used him as an opener this year.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, and I keep saying this, and I keep getting the questions every day in the chat room over at Fantasy Guru, and I keep saying, folks, we got to go to sold leagues. I predicted it before the year began. This is the year that's going to change it, because this
– Ball. By this year, you mean 2015, right?
Because yeah. Yeah.
This is something that was solved in 2015.
Yeah, it should have been. But yeah, this idea that who's going to close, and the question comes up every single day. Every day in the chat room, someone's asking me. Every day on Twitter, someone's asking me. I feel like, you know, three times a week, even though there's a couple of dedicated articles, we have the Burr report that looks at bullpens overall. We've got the closer chart that looks specifically at the ninth inning. I'm writing multiple. It's just all I write about is the freaking bullpens.
Yeah.
And we don't know what teams are going to do. Teams, you know, look at the Rays. We thought they had an Alvarado, then we knew Castillo would be involved a little bit, and now it's Pagan. It's like, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. I think the Angels go with Buttry. I mean, you know, he's a big dude. He throws hard. He's had tremendous success in his young career. To the point of this podcast, he hasn't allowed a home run, which is great for a guy working at the end of games. He's got a big-time strikeout arm. Yeah, he's the guy. You know, he got that opportunity and failed the first opportunity he got after the Cody Allen injury, which is unfortunate, but I would also somewhat blame a coaching staff that was trying to get him to go three innings when he had never gone two innings in any previous big league outing before. Maybe asking a little bit too much of a guy there, guys. So I think he's the guy to own, but it's a mix and match scenario potentially. Robles has pitched very well too.
25 home runs given up by Buttry in just under 500 innings pitched in his career. So real good. Like, that's a really good – and he's not giving up a home run in the major leagues last year or this year. That's what you like. At your back end guys, that's really what it's about. You can survive a double into the gap, even off the wall. You can survive bouts of mechanical issues that
– Diarrhea. Cause. Oh, sorry.
Bouts of diarrhea, of course. But, like, he walks, you know, which will happen. And, you know, you take an isolated one inning and – guys get out of sorts and walk a couple guys. You could survive that. Thing you can't survive when it's 4-3 in the ninth is a long ball. You can't can't do it. Yep. And that's why he lends himself to that. You know, a guy who's that tall also keeping the ball down always reminds me of John Roush. Guys like that who always get problems. Because it you know, unless you have good extension, when you're 6'6", 6'7", 240, keeping the ball down, you've got to really follow through in your motion and really top off your off-speed stuff in order to keep it biting downward and keep the ball in the ballpark. And Butchery's done that not just in the brief stint in Major League, but he's done it in the minor league levels too. So I concur with that. Before the podcast, I sent out a message at baseballguys at Jeff_Mans. You guys could hit us up anytime, by the way. And folks want to know about the Braves closer situation, which is fascinating in and of itself, Ray Flowers, because Vizcaino's shoulder surgery, AJ Minter comes off. He's a lefty. But now Jacob Webb comes off, you know, comes up, and he gets the late inning save the other day. People starting to freak out a little bit about Minter and their shares of Minter. Who's the closer in Atlanta going forward?
Yeah, just to let everyone know, again, every week the closer chart comes out, and it's Wednesday or Thursday. Usually it's Wednesday. And the last update was the 25th from last week, and obviously the situation with the Braves has them listed in red as a dangerous situation. As you noted, Vizcaino is on the shelf. He's done for the year. I talked about it in the write-up, the fact that Minter's velocity is down. He's the guy at the moment, but I profiled in that write-up last week Luke Jackson as the fallback option. I think he is the fallback option at the moment. He has pitched better than Minter to this point. He's also right-handed, which helps.
Yes.
This is another one of those scenarios. If Minter himself has dealt with shoulder issues, he has not been physically right, I don't think, at any point this season, and that's been a big issue for him. They have had – you mentioned the Angels. The Braves bullpen has been a mess.
Yeah.
Just a disaster, injuries and poor performance. I would say Luke Jackson is the guy. I bet on him myself in a couple of leagues. Unfortunately, the leagues where he was available had other needs, but he, I think, is the number two guy with that pen right now.
Interesting, because he's the guy that you know, we just got done talking about home runs. He's served up a couple in his career. Also walks, a lot of walks for Luke Jackson. Needs to get that under control for sure. And the Braves having some problems. What do you do with people? Because I know the rush with Jacob Webb after he got that save the other day. Everybody's blew up my Twitter about it. I'm sure yours as well. What about, is Webb a guy that will hold on to a role here in the bullpen, maybe the late innings? Or is he just going to be sent down in 2 weeks anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's another issue you deal with when you're talking about these guys that don't necessarily have a carved out role. I will say this, again, to reiterate, the Braves bullpen has been terrible. Okay, they've dealt with all kinds of injuries, poor performances. It's certainly possible that Webb carves out a role. Absolutely possible he does that. I don't think that he is likely to be working the ninth inning frequently. Both Minter and Jackson weren't available in the game in which Webb got the save. So maybe Webb is the third guy right now. Maybe that's how they look at it. If you're playing an NL-only league, that is a name to pay attention to. In a mixed league, I wouldn't be rostering him at the moment.
Fair enough. Let's circle back to the Angels here, Ray Flowers, and talk about prospects, because there's a guy. Now, we are recording this, just so everybody's aware, on a Tuesday night, the 30th of April. Griffin Canning is going tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays in a matter of hours. So how this goes will be very interesting. But one thing that we pride ourselves on, Ray, I know, does, and myself as well, is like, we don't want to be second guessers. I keep going back to the NFL draft because I'm in football mode. But like, I want to tell you what I think of a guy before like everybody else reacts.
Oh, hey, he's on your chest, Jeff.
I love this guy because he went to my favorite team. It's like, let's talk a little bit here, Ray Flowers, about Griffin Canning, the Angels farmhand. Number two prospect, by the way, in the LA system. What are your thoughts on Canning going forward?
Yeah, there's an article about Griffin Canning and actually Cal Quantrill. I did a split because I didn't have time to do one for each because I'm doing the rankings update. I did a dual player profile, two right-handed pitchers, both getting chances to make their first start this season. Both guys pitching in California for home teams there. Ooh. Canning is someone that I wrote up in the preseason. Both guys, actually, Quantrill and Canning, were written up in the preseason rookie piece. I always laugh when people say, hey, what do you think about these rookies? It's like, folks, I wrote 7,000 words on them. You might go read the article.
We were talking before the show, like, we need a better search feature on the site. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, the easy thing to do, Ray, is just don't write so much.
Yeah, that would solve the problem.
If you worked less, if you didn't work as hard, maybe you'd be easier to find. But that's the good thing, is you can always go back and track what mm-hmm. Ray thinks of a guy now and in the middle of his success or failure and afterwards and all that. So I certainly appreciate that as a reader. Well,
thank you. Yeah, and as you know, as people always say, oh, you never admit when you're wrong. Lie, that's not true. I admit when I'm wrong all the time, write about it.
We don't have to admit we're wrong because we are wrong. It's just there's no escaping sound bites, audio, video, written word, clips, and article. Like, there's no getting around it. Every time I say I just had it again this weekend, again, NFL draft stuff, but the Old Takes Exposed retweeted when I said Odell Beckham was one of the worst picks in the first round in NFL history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I will never live that down. It's okay. And guess what? I'm still surviving, still winning money, still winning leagues. It's like, it's okay to be wrong, everybody. And I don't know. Some people want us to just list all the things we're wrong about every day. But if we do that and balance it with what we're right about, then they say you're bragging. So it's like, I don't know. There's no way to win, but we are accountable. I can guarantee you.
It's also different too, Jeff, that we, you know this, and this is something that I know you personally hate.
Oh boy.
A good deal of people in our industry are never wrong about anything because they change their opinion every 3 weeks.
Yep.
Okay. And that's especially in football, I think. Yeah. Because it's both. But all preseason, I hate this guy, hate this guy, hate this guy. Week four, I love this guy. Well, what?
Ray, okay. I will point out the baseball one that's got me. When you bring that up, how about all the people? And listen, I'm included in this. Christian Yelich will never hit 30 home runs. No chance. No chance. I mean, it was stomp, 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 stomp. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now, again, long way to go, and he's got back issues, and we'll see. But it's hilarious how everyone's like, this guy's unbelievable. Okay, but we all did say that we didn't think his power. I drafted him in the FSTA. Remember that the first round of the FSTA? And people were like, oh, you're raw. I don't like that pick. The guys in the booth, because they didn't like me, just literally said, oh, I don't know about how you can choose Christian Yelich, guy who hit 36 home runs. It was freakish. And the home run to fly ball rate will never sustain. All that good stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I don't not necessarily assuming 30 home runs. I think the power will withstand at a level with the speed and the run production ability in that lineup that I love was good. But now everyone just is back in the weeds and everybody knew that Yelich was.
Well, two things. One, it goes to show you how much of a change is publicly perceived. I took Tommy Pham in the sixth or seventh round of that draft and people are like, stupid pick. And, meanwhile, he goes 45 games in a row getting on base.
By the way, 2 years ago when he was at the Cardinals, it was the greatest pick alive.
Yeah.
Just want everybody to understand that. Yes.
Yeah. So, that stuff, things do change quickly, even amongst the analysts in the industry.
They do.
I said the same thing about Yelich, that he would not get to 35 home runs. And history, logic said that's the way it's going to be. Now, what's happened with him, just to touch on him quickly since you brought him up, he has done something remarkable. He for his career, is a 57% ground ball guy. This year, that mark is 44%, which is a huge – because, again, we're talking 6 years. And that was always the thing with him before last year. Even he doesn't lift the ball, doesn't lift the ball, doesn't lift the ball. Did a better job lifting the ball last year, but still at a 52% ground ball rate, which is terrible. It's 43% this year, which is a massive change. If he holds on to that, he's got a really good shot to hit 30 home runs because that's a totally different – analysis we need to put on a guy at 44% versus 54%. The second part is he's one of three men ever, and this only goes back to the 21st century because we can't track home run to fly ball.
Oh, no, you're not going to put a Ty Cobb reference.
Yeah, we can't do Babe Ruth or anything. But he's one of only three men ever, to have 500 plate appearances and have a 35% home run to fly ball ratio. Okay. Wow. No one has ever had a 40% mark. No one has ever repeated 35%. Currently, he's at 41%. So Christian Yelich is on pace right now to do something, A, that's never been done before, just the rate he's currently at, and B, back-to-back seasons, never been done, and C, no one's ever done it twice in their career ever. Who, you can't predict something like that. So if a great player does something outlandish, you know, the analysis was correct, but sometimes it just happens.
But let me go further on this point because I think it's fascinating, is what it's not it, – the way you frame it is good, but the Major League Baseball is doing things that have never been done before as a whole. And that's why, you know, I started out in March talking about the amount of home runs hit and the fly ball. We've never had an April like we've had this year. And maybe, you know, schedules try to do, you know, southern states and dome stadiums a little bit more, yada, yada, yada. But offense isn't going away. And we're setting records for runs scored and home runs and everything else. So when you're talking about the ratios being so amazing, absolutely. But it's sort of a microcosm of the entire game. Like Yelich is, shouldn't be producing that kind of power because over Yelich is a two home runs robbed for him too. I want that. It's Mike Trout in LA literally went full blown extension and robbed him in right center field and then once at Miller Park. But either way, I think just in general, baseball is doing these things. These numbers that we're seeing, Ray, are so gaudy. Power, and we were joking around about when we're talking about the prospects coming up, but it's true. It's so much easier to hit home runs at the major league level these days than it is in the minor leagues. I mean, it's substantial too, man.
Yeah, so, and there have been arguments about the baseball. There's been arguments about the drag on the baseball. Major League Baseball swears it's nothing. Maybe it's something. But I think that's something that always gets overlooked because I always hear the baseball. Get overlooked is the fact that everyone has done this launch angle thing. Everyone has changed their swing. Jackie Bradley did it, didn't work. Not everyone that does it, it works for, but it's what everyone tries to do. So everyone is trying to gear their swing to hit the home run. And every pitcher in baseball throws 95 miles an hour. Like people, it's not just the baseball's juice. There's so much else going on here. Every reliever in baseball throws at least, 92? Is there a reliever in baseball that doesn't? I mean, Pat Neshek throws 92, for God's sake. I mean, it's like everyone. Everyone's throwing 95 miles an hour.
Nick Margavacious does not throw 92.
Okay. He's a starter. But, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. There's a few guys out there. Kyle Hendricks doesn't. But you know my point. It's like the average major league fastball every year keeps going up in velocity. So if the average guy's throwing 93 miles an hour and you're changing your swing loft, you're going to hit more home runs. You're going to hit more balls in the air. It's going to lead to huge growth in those type of categories. It doesn't just have to be the ball is juiced.
No, do you, what do you liken it to? Is that your answer? Is that what you think? It's everything. It's the weather. It's the ball. It's the
loft. You know,
it's the velocity. Is
the game is different too? Okay, and just one other point. In the old days, a starting pitcher was supposed to throw a complete game. Then it was 8 innings. Then it was 7. Then it was 6. Now it's like 5. Right? It's just, you go 5 innings and the team patch on the back and you go to the showers. What that means is, as you're aware, why we created the Burr Report, the bullpen usage and reliever rating system, because the bullpens are pitching 40% of the innings anymore. With that increase in the innings used of the bullpen, the assumption is it's a good move because everyone throws 95 out of the bullpen. But understand, and I found this very interesting, it was pointed out by a Diamond over at Wall Street Journal today. I read it this morning.
Ooh.
Right now, starting pitchers have a better ERA than relief pitchers. And that hasn't happened. I don't forget what it was, 40 years or so. It hasn't happened in forever because starting, you know, the bullpen guys that would come in, it'd be the closer, it'd be Dennis Eckersley, it'd be Willie Hernandez, and that'd be it. Now there's so many innings being thrown by the bullpen guys that they're having a greater impact on the game. And let's not forget why the majority of guys are in the bullpen. The majority of guys are in the bullpen because they can't function as a starting pitcher. Usually the reason is either they have control problems and they just want to tighten things up, or B, in most instances, it's because they don't have a third or fourth pitch. So what the majority of guys in bullpens do is they throw a fastball slider, fastball at 96, slider at 90. Everything is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So they make that mistake pitch, and even if it's a slider, it's coming in hard, home run. So I think it's a lot of factors, Jeff, beyond just the, oh, it's the baseball or it's steroids. I think that stuff has played out.
Wow, you don't like the fact that it might be the baseball or steroids.
I don't.
Wow. It's fascinating. The bullpen ERA versus the starting ERA. I mean, starters are the worst they've ever been. Starting pitching is just absolutely atrocious. And I think this is one of those things where I'm not going to take the victory lap yet, but I will certainly point out the fact that how many arguments did you and I have with folks on Twitter about going starting pitching early in NFBC leagues and stuff. And it's been a nightmare. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're seeing, you know, quality outings, and, you know, you could easily pick out the Trevor Bowers and guys who've done all right. No problem. I get it. But, man, like, start looking at the bombs some of these starting pitchers have laid early on in the season. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can look at it and say, well, you know, Mookie Betts has underperformed and Jose Ramirez has underperformed. Yeah. You know, so it's
Jose
not.
Jose Ramirez, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not both. It's both sides. Like, there's poor performances. But in terms of volume, I mean, DeGrom has been spotty. Sale has been spotty.
Well,
Nolan's
Sale's
been spotty.
Done. DeGrom's just a matter of time before he's done.
Nolan Kluber have been spotty. Carrasco's been spotty. Syndergaard's been spotty. Buehler's been spotty. Kershaw was injured to start the year. We all knew that, I guess. Clevenger's hurt. Severino's hurt. I mean, those are top 25 kind of guys that, like you said, just crap the bed. Yes. It's not that they're struggling. They've just been flat out awful.
Well, and again, so my point with all this is in the way I'm having a good season so far in my seasonal baseball leagues, and I didn't do anything special, but knowing the league, understanding what's happening in a wide-angle lens and then narrowing it down and identifying the players that can help you to that end, I feel like it's just a simple math equation almost. You know, it's like, oh, there's a ton of power and home runs and everything else going to be hit. Okay, wonderful. Let's go get that. And let's find the pitching late. Let's put a premium on what is actually happening as opposed to think, oh, let's try to single out the one or two guys that are going to be great pitchers in my first and second round, because it just didn't make sense to me. You know, it's a – hate to use the position scarcity argument, but that's kind of what it's been like. So I don't know. It just – not, the pitchers will be fine. Scherzer will be fine. Sale, not so much. DeGrom, not so much, because we have injuries and things like that. So that's a problem. My boy Noah Syndergaard, terrible. Just like, I don't know what the hell's going on with him, but his slider has lost significant velocity because he was throwing 94, 95 with the slider. It's now 89, 90. Yeah, it's dramatic because – he was unhittable before that. You know what I mean? So he's not been what he's going to be. Some of these guys will be fine, but I think we're seeing why with the abundance of injuries and inconsistencies and lack of innings and everything else, why it was not a good idea to go pitching early. But nevertheless, so do we ever get to Griffin Canning, by the way?
No.
What really is his long-term projection here?
It basically comes down to this. He is more of a high floor than high ceiling guy. Okay. He should be very effective, and he could be very effective off the start. We don't know how many outings he's going to make. The team hasn't said it's his role and he's going to get 15 starts. Like, they haven't commented on that directly. And the thing to be most concerned with Canning is that he was drafted after his college career and they didn't let him pitch at all. They, you know, drafted in June, didn't let him pitch at all. Last year he threw 113 innings. That's not a lot. This year, his starts, he never hit 85 pitches, so he had to go through a simulated game to reach 90 pitches to be ready, they feel, for this game. I don't know how many innings he's got. I don't know how many pitches he's got. I think that he's a solid streaming type of option at the moment, given all the concerns. I do like his game an awful lot, but there are serious and legitimate concerns about workload this season.
Yeah, workload for sure. Like, I think this – again, we'll go into the wide angle. With all these pitchers that are coming up, what we're looking for, we need an impact. We need an impact for as long as we can. You know, let's get to August and be in contention. And then it's going to be the beaches at Normandy trying to figure all this stuff out come August and September especially. You know what I mean? But we need somebody to get us there. It's like having a great back end of the bullpen, but your starter's only throwing 3-4 innings. It's like, all right, great. you know, you got the 8th and 9th covered, but what about the 5th, 6th, and 7th? Like, oh, that's some problems there. And that's where we are approaching in the months of April, or I'm sorry, May, June, and July is sort of that bridge. We've got to get guys to get over. And Cannon can do it, because when you look at the Angels, and I know they've been using – they used Bedrosian. They're using the opener sometimes. But Trevor Cahill has been an absolute disaster. Bad call. I've been a Cahill believer for years. He's never healthy, of course. But right now, lefty power is just shattering his soul. And I don't know how much longer of a leash they can give him.
Yeah, and Skaggs is always hurt. Heaney's always hurt. They don't want Pena going deep into games. I mean, they need starting pitching. And if he can go out there and give them five solid innings, they'd be more than happy, I would think, to let Cannon go out there the rest of the season.
What do you do with Nate Lowe of the Tampa Bay Rays here? Mm-hmm. Because he got called up recently, and you look at, you know, Meadows on the being on the DL. The Rays are that team that, like I just talked about, use whoever you can, man. Jump from ship to ship. They will mix things up, match, and do whatever they have to do to get on top. Lowe's hitting in the middle of this lineup the last couple of days. He's a good power bat. What did he hit? 30 home runs in the minor leagues last year, which translates to 172 in the major league level, of course. So what do you think? How long is he going to be up, and how much playing time is he going to get? Is this a long-term ad?
Yeah, that's a great question. G-Man Choi hasn't been great, but he's got an 800-plus OPS. He takes walks. He gets on base, you know. I mean, here's the big issue. Two things with Lowe, and it's not Lowe. It's Brandon Lowe.
I know. It's so funny.
Nate Lowe. Yeah. Super confusing. I don't know why they freaking
did that. Lowe.
Lowe changed his game last year. He, quite frankly, got in better shape. And he shortened his swing. He was easily beatable from fastballs in. Mm. And he made mechanical adjustments last year, and his performance took off. And so he is clearly a part of the team's future. Now, he's terrible in the field. He's terrible on the base pass. He's a DH in waiting, to be quite honest with you. The issue that longer term, is he a viable option in mixed leagues or what have you? If he hits, he stays, and they find a way. The problem with the Rays is I look at this whole team, and other than Pham, it's like everyone on this team is going to get 412 plate appearances. Like, they mix and match like you're talking about. They mix and match, and you never quite know. Let's not forget Matt Duffy's on the injured list. Austin Meadows is on the injured list. Joey Wendell's on the injured list. When those guys are healthy, they're back and taking a bat somewhere. So Lowe probably has a couple of weeks here to see if he can lock down a spot, or he runs the risk of, you know, falling into a platoon scenario. Or might even be sent back to the minors. There is some swing and miss here that could be an issue at the big league level.
What if he stays? Let's say he comes up, starts slashing. Mm-hmm. Whose expense does it come at? Is it G-Man that ultimately gets hurt?
I would think yes, but the problem is, dude's hitting .299 with an .860 OPS. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. He wasn't great last year. Yeah, he wasn't, but, you know, he was still pretty good at an 860 OPS last year. Like, he deserves to be on the field, even if they want to platoon him. That's fine. But he deserves to be out there. So the Rays have done the classic, we're going to get the talent, we're going to give them the opportunity, and we're just going to see how it plays out thing, which is good for the team, but it's very frustrating in fantasy.
Speaking of the Rays, let's have a little fun here as we close out the show. Talk about some early season performers, and a little thing we do on the radio sometimes called back or crack. Basically, what we're going to do, I'm going to name a bunch of players. Ray Flowers will determine, are they back, meaning we can count on them for the at least foreseeable future, or no, you have to be on crack if you're going to trust that guy. Ray Flowers, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, and I want to start with Tampa Bay, and I want to start with Yandy Diaz. Yandy Diaz has been a find. He's been strong, .298 average, .395 on base percentage, 7 homers, 18 RBIs. As we stand right now, hitting in the middle of this Rays lineup, a big part of what they've been doing. So Yandy Diaz, back or crack?
I'm going to say back, but with one caveat. He does have an almost 30% home run to fly ball ratio that is extremely, extremely unlikely to hold. Though he has hit more fly balls this year, he's still 5 percentage points below the league average. Going to have to lift the baseball more if he wants to be a power hitter.
So back?
Back.
Fair enough. How about Christian Walker? Onward, Christian Walker. Another guy, 7 home runs, been a run producer, 15 RBI for the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's making everybody forget about Paul Goldschmidt, Ray Flowers.
Yeah, that's given his position at first base, I'm going to say crack. It's not that he won't be productive and all that, but there's just so many guys at first base that I think are very similar outlook kind of guys. Let's not forget that he, too, is a power hitter, has a 1.04 ground ball to fly ball ratio. That's below the league average. He hits a lot of ground balls. He's enjoyed a large home run to fly ball ratio, and as I have stated repeatedly, his strikeout rate is a legitimate concern. You can't hit 316 striking out as much as he's had. The batting average is going to come down.
28.4% strikeout rate for Christian Walker, by the way. And another caveat, the home runs don't count for batting average for balls in play, don't forget. 400.
Still 400, yeah.
And still 400 without those 7 home runs. So whereas when we talked about Yandy Diaz, we're looking at a guy who's at 100 points less. You know what I mean? And by the way, hitting 15 points less. So much more sustainable, Yandy Diaz versus Christian Walker. I agree 100% with that. What about, he's nicked up right now, but what about Trey Mancini? It's like the best pasta sauce you've ever eaten. You know what I mean? Trey Mancini, come to Mama Mancini's house. You get the good spaghetti sauce, you know what I mean? Trey Mancini's been fantastic this year.
Yes.
Does it continue? Is he back?
He's crack.
You got to make a fun.
His OPS is 300 points higher than last year. If you're talking batting average and balls in play, it's 413 for him. That's a little bit high.
It's a little bit high.
A little bit.
This is what you get. This is elite analysis, folks. Yes. Don't you go to the other guys. Fine. Do what you got to do. But this is where you get the hard hitting stuff. It's a little high.
It is encouraging. Speaking of, you want to get high? Little tally. His ground ball rate has plummeted. That's been an issue with Mancini because, you know, you look at him and it's 20-25 home runs. Why doesn't he hit more home runs? Last year, he's had a 50% ground ball rate, which is what you want to do if you're Billy Hamilton. This year, the mark is inching toward, the league average. It's 37%. Actually better than the league average, slightly at 37%. So he's done a better job lifting the baseball. That's heartening for his power total. He could set a career best if he's healthy in the home run total. But still, I don't think he's much to stand out at a corner outfield spot or corner infield spot.
Let's go to the mound, and I got to get your thought. It's been like 2 or 3 weeks since you and I did a fantasy baseball lead show.
Oh, wow.
I missed this. Talking about Mama Mancini's pasta sauce. Since we last left off, Zach Wheeler has had an emotional roller coaster of a ride. And I had to tell a story real quick from the daily fantasy community. For those who don't play DFS, it's fine. You'll still appreciate this. You know, people love to, like, we do it at Fantasy Guru and Elite Fantasy. We talk about movement of pitches and pitch mix and all this stuff, you know, when we're doing our analysis. Well, there's a DFS player that did some stuff on Wheeler and referenced his fastball movement. And he referenced he pressed the wrong arrow on the chart and said it was one of the best when it was one of the worst. And then that day, he goes and strikes out 11 Phillies. And, like, so this guy thought, oh, my God.
2 hits, too, including a home run. It was, like, his best game ever, right?
His best game, like, of all time. Yeah. It was like, and this guy's like, I told you. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I missed it. And people are like, well, how did you miss this? What an idiot you are. This other guy got it. And I go, okay, well, what was the analysis? Because I'll go, you know, I'll cop when I'm wrong.
He
says, oh, great fastball movement. I looked. I go, no, he was the worst. I go, oh, my God, he read the table wrong. It's all baseball prospectus table. Everybody, it's all these guys do. Pitch effects, click, click. And it was one of the worst. And I'm like, oh, my God, he did it. So I was anxious. And the other day, that same analyst did it again. So that it referenced how great Wheeler was and fastball movement. And this time against the Cincinnati Reds. And I go, okay, let's see how this one works out for you, buddy. Smashed. Gave up 4 runs in 3 innings. And then, by the way, missed a grand slam by like 20 feet. Like, it just barely missed. So I don't want to influence you, but Zach Wheeler, back or crack for this guy? Because there are – he throws fast, and there's a lot of goodness here.
Yeah, boy, that's a really tough question. I did not expect him to be an ace by any means this year. If he repeated what he did last year, I would consider that a big success. So my expectations were a lot low. Like that, Vlad Sedler probably had him 30 spots higher than I did in preseason rankings. Like he was a big fan. He's had the strikeout an inning. He hasn't allowed the home run, luckily for those 15, 20 feet. Hasn't really allowed the home run this year. For the most part, his, you know, batted ball dispersal chart looks very similar. Ground ball, fly ball is the same, blah, blah, blah. The big difference to this point has been the walk. And that is something that he has battled in the past. It's odd to see that be an issue because his first pitch strike rate is actually pretty much a dead-on match for last season. I would say if he can stay healthy, he's back. But I don't know if he can stay healthy, and I have concerns about the walks.
So?
Well, I'm back, I guess. I mean, again, it's a very nebulous ARB.
I like that. So you're saying back?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, fair enough. What about Stroman? He's a Stroh's man.
My God.
My old man was a Stroh's man back in the day. You know, 1-3 record, but he's pitched very, very well despite that record. A 2.33 FIP, 3.72 xFIP, a little high. His ERA, obviously, just 1.43. So there's luck involved, but he's missing some bats, generating 55% ground balls with Stroman. Back or crack for you?
I think he's back. And I look at what he's doing now, and that's the guy we saw in 2017. Last year he was injured and ineffective and flat-out pitched poorly. But this year I think he's back to being the guy he is. You mentioned the 55% ground ball rate, which is really, really good. He's been over 60% four straight years. It's basically him and Dallas Keuchel year after year for the league lead in that ground ball rate. So that number could even tick up a little bit. And if that number does tick up to historical levels with Stroman, which, again, is very possible – and he maintains a 11.3 swinging strike rate that he currently has, which would be a career best and is high for him, so that could recede. If he can combine the swinging strike rate and that ground ball rate going up a little bit, he could sustain the success to the point where, you know, he's an all-star type of guy. The record is the record. You know, that's going to be hit or miss. He's not a 109 whip guy. He walks too many guys for that. But he certainly is back, and I think he's going to vastly – surpass his cost on draft day.
I dig it. And final one for back or crack here. We've talked about him before, but I want to get an update on you for Mike Minor. You know, riding the hot hand right now for the Rangers lefty. You know, he's sort of a guy who was a fringe starter, couldn't stay healthy, then found his rhythm in a bullpen, did well for a year or two, and then sort of just emerged as strong middle of the rotation starter all of a sudden here. Ray Flowers already talking, the Rangers are like, all right, we're gonna trade him. Like they're already floating the trade rumors. We're not even waiting for May for him to break down. But Mike Minor, back or crack?
Yeah, I think he's back. Again, he showed it last year. He was very effective last year. There are obvious and legitimate concerns about health and innings, not going to get around that. His strikeout rate is a little bit elevated right now. Good news for the people that own him, but you have to anticipate that number regressing a little bit. He's not someone that should be looked at as, you know, 8.5 strikeouts per nine. It's just not his game. His overall game is solid without standing out. He's a good pitcher when healthy, you know, and there is room for that on fantasy squads. He was not costly. He may not have even been drafted in a lot of mixed leagues. So I think he can be a usable back end, like your fifth, sixth starting pitcher type of guy in a mixed league. Not going to set the world on fire. Not going to be, you know, a Cy Young candidate, anything like that. But very, very solid this year, no matter where he pitches. And if he got traded, Jeff, it'd probably be a good thing. You don't want to be pitching in Texas when it's 110 degrees in August.
Fair enough. There you go. That's the voice of Ray Flowers at Baseball Guys on Twitter. Find him hanging out in chat rooms all day, both in pornography and on fantasy.
Hey, now, Jeff, come on.
Oh, boy. I mean, just on fantasyguru.com. I am in there from time to time as well. Check me out. I'm Jeff Manns, at Jeff_Manns on Twitter. The Jeff Manns on other social media. Do you do the other social? You don't really do much else, right?
Nah, I'm too busy doing this stuff, Jeff.
You're too busy with your life, being a real person, watching Game of Thrones.
There you go. Game of Thrones and Endgame, Avengers. There we go.
Avengers. No spoilers for us, everybody. Fantasy Baseball Elite. Appreciate you guys downloading. Hopefully you subscribe and leave some feedback. You like it, dislike it. Topics you want us to talk about in future episodes. Hopefully you guys are listening to Vlad Sedler and Draft Sheet, a.k.a. Peter Christensen. When they fill in for us as hosts, we'll be rotating our host panel throughout the course of the season. Remember, one place on earth that we talk baseball 365 days a year. That is fantasyguru.com. Drop the price, just $19.99 now for the entire rest of the season. Get everything we are offering over there. Chat room access, live streams, podcasts, articles and tools, of course, but everything we're doing. And come join our community and let's crunch some fantasy baseball this season. For the great Ray Flowers, this is Jeff Mance, Fantasy Baseball Lead. See you next time, everybody. Deuces.